Hello, everybody. This is your Bible session of the Talk to the Cross, the official podcast of the Crosspoint Church. Very happy to be able to, once again, share with you some the Word of God. We're so happy to be able to come at you with this platform and continue to ask for your prayers, for you to like, share, and also subscribe to our channel. We are so happy that God has been touching people's lives through His Word, and that is the only reason that we do this and we produce this. We continue to ask for your prayers for the Crosspoint Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. That God continue to bless us and help us, God, that the gospel continues to reach the lost, and most of all, to edify those believers that are in need of hearing the Word of God. And every Monday, once again, we come at you with our English Bible session, a short Bible devotion, and also every day we have a Bible verse with a short prayer and devotion. So we encourage you to follow us also on the daily devotion, and also in Spanish. We have it in Spanish, the same setup, the same platform. So we're going to get right into the Word of God today. And our topic today is a topic that I believe we as Christians need to understand. A lot of people don't understand that God has in His Word a lot of spiritual principles and laws that we must understand in order to live a victorious Christian life, and to understand that, you know, a lot of times people's theology is based on the sand, and it's not on the solid rock. A lot of dogmas, a lot of fanatical views that sometimes, instead of edifying, they hurt people. And that is not the purpose of God's Word. God's Word is to save the lost, to edify, to encourage. And today's topic, like I say, is a topic that I believe that is misunderstood. And our topic this week is, what does it mean to fight the good fight of faith? Once again, our topic for this week is, what does it mean to fight the good fight of faith? We're going to be reading our foundational verse, which is found in a very popular scripture that is usually read in funerals, celebration of life services. And it says in 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6, verse 12, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version, which says, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life which you were called, about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Let me read that again. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The Apostle Paul wrote this, and we, as I say, have recently, a lot of people, when we talk about this, there is a lot of times a misinterpretation that it refers only to spiritual warfare, or also the fight of with diabolic forces, demons and evil spirits. And it is applicable. And but as we see this, we find out that Paul wrote this, and it was because there was a lot of doctrines, false doctrines, at that time, and there was a influx of these Greek doctrines were coming in, especially one of the greatest, this fertility cult, Diana's, the Artemis fertility cult, which is based out of Ephesus. The city boasted one of the most celebrated pagan temples in authority, the Temple of Artemis, which is one of the world's seven wonders, believe that. At that time, it was one of the world, and it is still considered a masterpiece of architect, but it was based on a cult, a false doctrine cult. And when Paul wrote this, he was also referring that we must be able to fight the good fight against that. I read in 1 Timothy 6:20, when Paul says to his spiritual son, O Timothy, keep that which was committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called. Paul is giving him advice to be careful with these false doctors that were going to be attacking the truth. And so when we're talking about fighting a good fight of faith, it is, like I say, basic and it is applicable to the spiritual warfare that every believer must confront. But also we see in the Bible that God has given us the principle to understand that it is so important that we learn to fight, to defend, to be not on a, in a, only in a defensive stand, but in an offensive stand. And we see this right now with war going on in Ukraine with Russia, that Russia being a stronger army, that Ukraine has been able to withstand, has been able to fight the good fight. They're defending their land. They're defending their country. And likewise, this type of verse in this era that we live gives us a lot of strength to be able to understand that, you know, we as Christians, as believers, must understand that we are in war. We're in a battle, a spiritual war. A lot of pastors and a lot of churches have dropped their guard to understand that the enemy is attacking us. And maybe, like I say now, with this war in Ukraine, they have discovered that there is a lot more, you know, different types of weapons now, more highly sophisticated, you know, more faster missiles, aircraft has changed. So it's still a war, but it is fought with different weapons. And spiritually speaking, the enemy has attacked us, the church and the believers, also with different tactics and strategies. And this is why it's so important that we fight the good fight of faith in order to maintain this posture, this stance of victory, of being more than conquerors. You, my brother, my sister, that listen to this podcast, it is God's divine will. And he wants us to be more than victorious. He didn't call us to defeat. He didn't call us to be destroyed. On the contrary, he called us to be the light of the world, to be the head and not the tail. There's so many promises, as I mentioned at the beginning, that we must understand. And one of the things that I always love to say, that it is important that we have the true knowledge in the Word of God to be able to defend or fight this good fight. And then we see Paul once again telling the Ephesians, as I was mentioning about this Ephesian pagan temple, the biggest and one of the seven wonders of that era, which says, with all good, well-doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same he shall receive of the Lord, whoever he be, bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things, and them forbearing and threatening, and knowing that you, your master also in heaven, neither is a respecter of persons. Paul is advising that when you fight or you stand for your faith, God honors that. And this is where I want to go a little bit deeper into the Word of God and let you know that Paul was trying to and show the churches that he founded, that he planted, that there is a warfare going on, a spiritual warfare, but there was a way that we could fight this and gain territory and be victorious. And we see it also where he says to the Philippians, wherefore, that I might be much bold in Christ. And I like this because he's emphasizing that he said, wherefore, though I might be bold in Christ, and to enjoy that which is a covenant. And you know, this is so important, that for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul, the age, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Think about it. He was in prison, and he was saying, I beseech you, my son. And he was saying, when I have begotten my bonds, and my chains, my bondage, what he was trying to say here is that whether you be free or bond, or you're a slave, or whatever, materially speaking, that there was a time that you need to stand and fight the good fight, no matter where you're at. He was in prison, but he said, whom I have retained with me, that he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But this, he was trying to encourage the church of Philippi that there was a stance that the church has to take in order to be able to fight the good fight. And one of the greatest things that I say that we as Christians, to fight the good fight, we must maintain a godly character. Listen to what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. It is so important. I noticed that I said a godly character. I did not say an appearance. I did not say a personality. I did not say, facade. So many Christians have been brainwashed with false doctors to believe that, by them doing this or doing that. And their theology is based more on a works than on the grace of God. And sooner or later, their theology is challenged when the enemy destroys them by telling them, you can't fulfill these things that you promised you were going to be doing. You're human. You have failed God. And he becomes the accuser. He torments them because they don't know the word of God. They believe dogmas of demons. They believe dogmas of men. They have destroyed them to feel rejected, to feel condemned. And that's what the devil wants. But praise be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the word of God is the authority. The word of God is what gives us the hope of glory, the blessed hope. And we start to understand that when you have a godly character, it is based on the word of God, not a man-made doctrine, not a fanatical view, not a theology based on what I think or you think or whoever so thinks. It is based on the true interpretation of the word of God. And I always have said that I admire the Apostle Paul for being the apostle to the Gentiles and to grace, being the apostle that God used to destroy the law that was being infiltrated into a lot of Christians of that era, that they wanted to mix the law and grace. And sooner or later, they found out that it was impossible to fulfill the law. And they thought the enemy would use that against. And I know that there are some people listening to me that left the church because somebody condemned them. Somebody told them, you don't have any hope. Somebody judged them and they felt condemned. And that's what the devil wants. So maintaining godly character goes a little bit deeper than just an outward appearance. It is an internal, demonstration of your relationship with your Savior Jesus Christ based on something more than just do's and don'ts. It is a personal relationship. When you accepted Christ, it was a personal decision, you and him. It was not a collective like so many people try to make it sound like so many sects and cults, that it is based on, your standards, your good works. And a lot of Christians have lost out with God because the enemy has condemned them, has made them feel, has accused them. We see that it was important that we understand that God does not want us to follow religion, but he wants us to follow him in a relationship. Two different things. And it is so important we understand that. A lot of theology, people that are listening to me, their theology will be wrong or be challenged today. There are so many Bible verses that can demonstrate that God is not interested in the Bible, even from the Old Testament. He says our works, our righteous works, are like filthy rags. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Christ did it on Calvary. God demonstrated his love toward us, that yet we were sinners. Christ died for us. He paid the price for our sins. So it is so important that we understand that. In order to fight the good fight, like I say, the first thing we must do is remain or seek a godly character, not a personality, not, I call it the parrot syndrome, where you repeat what you hear, but you don't really understand what you're saying. But our cognitive character is based on that relationship, that internal, that personal relationship, that gratitude for God loving you, for God loving me, for giving my sins, for his grace, that unmerited favor, for his love, reaching a sinner like me and giving me the opportunity to have a change of life and to have hope where there was no hope, to change my mind, to renew my mind, to give me many blessings. At this age where I am a grandfather now and blessed with three grandsons, every morning when I get up, I did not know. Some of my two friends that are listening can say that that know my testimony, that I never imagined that God would give me the blessings to see my grandson because of the way I was living when I was without God and without salvation in my life. And I had to learn that when I accepted Christ, that it was going to have to be very important for me to understand that even being a PK, a pastor's kid, and growing up in church and having a father that was a pioneer in the gospel, the apostolic doctrine, and had a lot of conservative and good, strong doctrine or foundation. We as PKs grew up this life of being a pastor's kid. And many things that when I accepted Christ, I wanted to be able to, when God called me to the ministry, I recalled real clearly that I asked God and I said, Lord, if this is you calling me to preach your gospel, I want you to use me. I want you I want you to teach me. I don't want to just sit and repeat things. I want to know. And God it confirmed it to me right away and said, you do your part and I will do my part. And he gave me a promise. I remember when I was called to the ministry, to the prophetic word from a pastor. And he confirmed that God was going to take me to many lands and my feet were going to step. And God has fulfilled that promise. But he also said that I needed to prepare myself. And that's one of the reasons I went to Bible school. I furthered my theology teachings and other dimensions, institutions of studying theology, because I knew I needed to be careful to interpret the Bible. And I dared to say, I still study the Word of God. For more than 30 years, I have been studying. I am an avid student of the Bible because I don't want to teach a false doctrine. I don't want to tell you something that is not the true interpretation of the Word of God. So fighting the good fight also means, like I say, that you must reject false doctrines. I want you to listen to me very carefully, because what I'm about to say might rock your boat, rock your theology. There is so many people that do not reject false doctrines. On the contrary, they go along with them. They say, well, I don't really believe, but I don't understand. I'll do it. Like the people that still, there's people in our apostolic ranks, in our Pentecostal ranks, that, still want to be under the law. They do not eat certain foods. They observe certain days. They dress in certain ways. And there's so many things that they do to try, supposedly, to demonstrate that they are children of God. And it's so sad that a lot of these brothers and sisters, they mean well, and with all due respect, they want to please God, but they end up pleasing man more than pleasing God. Some of them have become judgmental, have become fanatical, condemning others, ascending to hell others, and yet not knowing that that is also something that God has prohibited us to judge one another. Others. And then some of them become so spiritual giants that they look down on everybody. You don't pray enough. You don't read your Bible enough. You don't do this. You don't go to church enough. And they condemn others, not knowing that those false doctrines that they are trying to portray are not Bible-based. And there's nothing wrong with saying, it's just like some people have preferences. But I respect, and I always have said to people, God has granted me the privilege to travel to many continents of the world and to many nations. I have been able to minister, and I have thanked God that God has opened my eyes, that there is so many things that he permits for people to understand the revelation of the Word of God through prayer, through this communication, through this godly character that comes through this relationship with God, a personal relationship. And sometimes it's more of a private relationship that is demonstrated publicly. I hope you remember that. Let me repeat that. And let me say that. It is a private relationship that is demonstrated publicly. The anointing that you receive from God is given to you through this personal godly character that you receive, the anointing of God, the revelation of God, the faith in God. And so fighting the good fight of faith means that you do have to be able to reject, ask God for discernment, and be able to reject these false doctrines that are going to come into people's lives, into the church. People will challenge you, will tell you, you got to do this, you got to do that. I've always said, the Bible says that we must listen to everything, but retain that which was good. You know, an old saying, eat the meat and get rid of the bones. A lot of times, there's theology and doctrines out there that are not Bible-based. They're man-based. They're dogmas man-made. And these man-made doctrines will destroy your faith and your relationship in God. Let me be very frank with you. It does no good for you to be a saint in church and going every Sunday and praying and every Monday, and then you go Wednesday and you go Friday, and then you do the youth, and then you do outreach, and you do all that. And if you don't have a true personal relationship with Christ, and you, some of you have this, I call it the Pharisee syndrome, where you, the devil has pumped you up to believe that, because you're better than everybody else, you are more holier than everybody else. And it, you become so involved with yourself that you forget that it is God's grace that has saved us. It is God's love that has sustained us. So once again, I deeply consider that all of us must ask God to give us revelation to be able to reject, to discern false doctrines. Number three, and I say this with all, and I mentioned a little begin at the beginning, we must, in order to fight the good fight, seek godliness or holiness. And this is a very controversial topic. What is holiness? A lot of people, even the monks, the Catholic Church believes that their monks, their priests are holy because they're secluded, because they are separated. Some of them have monasteries, they have covenants where they go and make certain commitments. And sometimes it is so sad to say they have discovered that a lot of this people that think that they are so holy because they're secluded, on the contrary, they find out a lot of abuse, a lot of things that have happened, a lot of diabolic activity. And this is sad to say because the enemy has deceived them. And seeking the word holy means separation. And it means separation from the evil doctrines, it's separation from these worldly doctrines, these diabolic doctrines. It means also separation from those things that don't give God the glory. And I dare to say, it is so important that we understand that if what we are doing, if we're preaching or we're singing or we're ministering or we're feeding the poor, we're reaching the lost, with what purpose, with what motivation? And, I read a verse that I believe that sometimes we need to understand why God has given us life on this earth. We see it in 1 Timothy 6, 7, and 8, where he says, we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. What a powerful verse that Apostle Paul was trying to establish. There are so many people that are not seeking godliness, they're seeking riches. And when you start to live a life of distraction by the material riches and gains, and people start to forget, and they become so involved in seeking their material stance, it becomes greed for riches. It becomes more of the love of money, which God truly condemns and says that it is the root of all evil, the love of money. And God forgive me, but that's sometimes that we have to stand up the good fight of faith when the enemy tries to instill on us and we lose that satisfaction and contentment. And some of us are so blessed with more than abundance that we forget that. And we start to attribute it to our talent. I'm a good salesman. I'm a good investor. I have this. I'm a good planner. I'm a good money manager. Somebody even show glory in their way of handling money. And they forget that that's the grace of God. And they forget to give God the honor and the glory. And, you know, it's so important. It says, for those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into the snare, in many senseless and harmful desires. And it says they plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is not of all kinds evil. Some people are eager for money. And I understood from faith and price themselves with many things that they start to distinguish and start to be able to understand that they do need to separate what it is to learn to be content. That is also fighting the good fight. All of us, it's in our human nature. We want more. We want more. I want to come to a conclusion now. And I want to say our theme is fighting the good fight of faith. And I encourage you to let the word of God give you peace, to learn to be content, to fight for that peace, that contentment, and to have the discernment. And you can feel it, your spirit will tell you, and you feel that peace, that love. You do things out of love. Now, you know, some people have told me, and I've been in this a while now, some people tell me, Pastor, you know, God blesses you. You must always be pounding on tithes and offering. And believe it or not, I believe that a person must feel, and the Bible says that God will bless you if you plan with your heart in the right place. I've always said God does not need our money, and God gives us, but it is a totally different. That's another Bible study I will talk. And I call this study the right way to give. So many people give because they think it's an investment. I give and God's going to give me. And some, you know, teach that. And there's the doctrine of prosperity. These are false doctrines. It's so beautiful where you can preach grace, the gospel grace. We are saved by Christ, by the sacrifice on Calvary of Christ, the blood that Jesus Christ shed for us. The enemy doesn't want you to know that you must be appreciate Christ for what he has done for you. And, you know, it's so, so important that we understand these things and fight the good fight. And like I said, it's not always an outward or a visible, a diabolic warfare. It's sometimes with these false doctrines. It's sometimes with his judgment and condemnation the devil sins toward your life. To today, I will ask you once again to conclude. Are you fighting the good fight of faith? Or are you still confused? Or are you down? Have you been condemned and you feel there's no hope for you? I want to say with all due respect, this podcast is for you. You are not lost. You are not condemned. You can restore your faith and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Simply. And it says, the Bible says that, I don't say this, 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you. Listen to this. It's the word of God. He's not condemning you. He's giving you an opportunity to come back to him. And with the cords of love, God is calling somebody in this podcast. Come back to God. Notice I didn't say come back to the church. Come back to God. Come back to this relationship. And God is the one that's going to direct your life, direct your footsteps. I come to a conclusion by reminding you, this is the Talks at the Cross of the Fisher Podcast of the Cross Point Church. We ask for your prayers, and we ask you to continue to tune in every Monday for this short Bible session of being able to give deeper Bible truths. Remember, fight the good fight, my brother and my sister. May God bless you. Till next time.